All right, please stand for the reading of the scripture today, coming from Mark 6, verses 45 through 52. This is the word of the Lord. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up onto the mountain to pray. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass them, but then they saw him walking on the lake. They thought he was a ghost. They cried because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately, he spoke to them and said, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran through the whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into the villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the markets. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched were healed. This is the word of the Lord. It is absolutely true and given to us in love. You may be seated.
Amen. Thank you, my brother. Brothers and sisters, join me in a word of prayer. You guys may know this prayer. I pray it every week. Father, as we enter in this time of instruction and preaching, will you glorify your word in our hearts? May it enlighten the unlearned, awaken the careless, reclaim the wandering, establish the weak, comfort the feeble-minded, and make us a people ready for our Lord's return. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, as we are get into this sixth chapter of the Gospel of Mark, we will find that there are several things, several key events that take place before we get to our passage. The first event is that Jesus is rejected in Nazareth. And if we go back up to verse 4, it says that, "And Jesus said to them, 'A prophet is not without honor, except for in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household. And he could do no mighty works there, except that he laid his hand on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went about their villages teaching.'" Can you imagine Jesus going back home to the place where he's from, and he begins to talk to folk, and they can only think about who his mama is or who his daddy is, and they discount him. They discount Jesus so much that Jesus marveled at their unbelief. The next thing that happens is we see the sending of the 12. And Jesus tells them that as he sends them out, that he called the 12, and he began, in verse number 7, he called the 12, and he began to send them out two by two, and he gave them authority over the unclean spirit. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. And he said to them, "Whenever you enter a house and stay there until you depart from there, and if any place will not receive you, they will not listen to you. When you leave, shake the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So Jesus here is sending out his disciples two by two, and he gives them a power, authority over everything that's unclean, and he tells them that if you go in anybody's house and they will not hear you, don't worry about it. Just shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So this is happening. The word is getting out. It's happening quickly. Jesus saying, if they won't hear me, and if they don't hear you, don't worry about it. Just keep doing what I've sent you to do. Then we get to the third place where it talks about the death of John the Baptist. And we realize that the king, he was married, but he was involved with his brother's wife. Uh-oh. That ain't good. This lady sees him, and she dances before the king, and it makes the king so excited, he says, I will give to you whatever it is that you want. Guess what? She asks for John the Baptist's head in a charger. So he has John the Baptist beheaded. This is important. Then we get to the fourth place. It's where Jesus feeds the 5,000. Jesus is preaching, and he's concerned about the people because they're like sheep without a shepherd. So Jesus is preaching, and he tells his disciples, notice that the people are with them. So they say to Jesus that these people have nothing to eat. So Jesus looks at his disciples, and he said, you give them to eat. And they begin to look around us. We're in a desert place. Where can we get enough food to feed all these people? Jesus sends them out. They come back to Jesus with two fish and five loaves. Jesus takes that two fish, five loaves, lifts it up, prays, and he feeds 5,000. That's all right, y'all. That's exciting that he feeds 5,000 and he takes back 12 basket loaves, 12 basket full. Man, that's all right there. This is exciting because it builds us up to where we are today. Now, if we can give Jesus two fish and five loaves and he can feed 5,000, isn't that good news? Good news. Listen, not only did they eat, they ate till they were satisfied. That's what scripture says, is that everybody was full with two fish and five loaves. That's the God that we serve, that he can do things beyond our imagination. Because if I got two fish, I got one for me and one for Sonya. I'm just telling you the truth. I got one for me and one for Sonya, and pray for the rest of y'all. Do y'all get me? Because that's typically what happens. If you got two fish and you'll say, would you want some? Honestly, you're hoping that I'd say no, would you? If you only got two. You're really hoping, you're being kind, you're being courteous, but you really want me to say no. So I'm going to save y'all the trouble. I'm just not going to ask you. I'm going to get my fish, I'm going to have my fish, and Sonya will have her fish, and I pray that God bless everybody else. Amen. Listen, that's typically how we operate. We operate that way because we are people who believe in preserving ourselves, taking care of ourselves. But God said, go, just bring me what you have. And he did it. So now we've seen the people reject Jesus. We've seen Jesus prepare his disciples to be rejected. We heard about the death of John the Baptist. We've seen the 5,000. Now we get to the passage where we are today. So as we begin to look at this passage for today, we see that after the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus immediately made his disciples get in the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethesda. While he dismissed the crowd, and after he had taken leave of them, he went up to the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. Listen to this, y'all. He meant to pass by them. I'm going to deal with that in a little bit. He meant to pass by them. He see them struggling. He see what's happening in the boat, but the master meant to pass by them. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the water, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, take heart, it is I. Don't be afraid. And he got in the boat with them, and the wind ceased. That's something right there. While we're in the boat, the wind is blowing, but when he gets in, the wind stops. Hey, that's good news, brothers. And they were utterly astonished, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. So after this feeding, it tells his disciples to get in the boat. Brothers and sisters, there are three quick things I want to show you about this particular passage. The first thing is this. Just because you're doing what the master says, it does not mean smooth sailing. It does not mean just because you're doing what he says, that it means smooth sailing. While it does not mean smooth sailing, it does mean what he said will come to pass. So you see it right here. They get in this ship because he tells them to get in the ship. He tells them to go on the other side. And while they're in the ship, they're caught in the midst of a storm. And it's not just any storm, it's a bad storm. The wind is against them. They need to get to the other side, but the wind is stopping them from getting where they need to be. Brothers and sisters, in this life, we can be doing exactly what the Master has told us and experience storms in our life. We can have trials, we can have tribulations, we can have trouble come after us when we're not bothering anybody. Can I get a witness in here today? That trouble will come against you. So they were doing what they were supposed to be doing. They was following the order that the Master gave, and they were caught in the midst of a storm. Man, I don't know. I don't know what you will be faced with in this life. But my daddy had a saying, you know where you've been, but you don't know where you're going. You know what you've been through, but you don't know what you were coming up against. Brothers and sisters, when we got God on our side, it don't matter what we're facing. When we're doing what he says, it does not matter. Why? Because we're going to see that there is no mountain high enough, no valley low enough to keep him from you. That's good news. Yes, it is. Thank you, brother. Hey, listen, Gloria's not here, but I got Andrew. Woo! That's good news. So here it is. Here it is. He tells them to go. Heartaches and troubles, it comes. Disappointment will find us. We just got to remember. I often think about, like, why does trouble come my way? Why does this happen? Why do things have to happen to me? Then I remembered the passage in the Gospel of John, chapter 9, when the blind man, they said, Rabbi, who did sin? This man or his parents that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the word of God should be revealed in him. So brothers and sisters, sometime in this life, it ain't because you did anything. It's just because God wants to show you that he's God. Amen? And sometimes him showing you who he is ain't always easy. Amen. Sometimes you're going to have to cry. Sometimes you're going to have to wonder how the end is going to be met. Sometimes you just have to lean and depend on him. You have to put everything that you got. All your hope needs to be in him. So the blind man did nothing wrong. But the Master says, so that God may be glorified, so that God may be able to work in him. Just think, maybe what you're going through, maybe what I'm going through, it's because God is at work in your life. Somebody ought to say, amen, that he's at work in your life. Second thing, that in the midst of our trouble, God's sovereignty and compassion is on display. That even in the midst, brothers and sisters, you know how I know I'm right about this? Because it could be worse. Amen. It could be work. So his compassion and sovereignty is at work in your life. Look at what the scripture says. Scripture says that they were out there struggling in this ocean, and here comes Jesus walking on the water. He comes out there walking on the water. They see him. They think it's a ghost, and they are afraid. They're fearful. The Bible says they are terrified. They're terrified because they see him. And now, if they see him, guess what? He sees them. And it was his original plan. That's what it says. He meant to pass them by. Now, wait a minute. You the one told us to get in the boat. You the one told us to get on it, to go to the other side. We out here struggling. You walking on the water. You know that you got the power to help us, but you're going to pass us by anyway? What is this about? Why would the Master see them going through this, but he was going to pass them by? You know why? Because he already knew that they were going to get to the other side. He already knows that you are victorious. He is already giving you the victory, brothers and sisters. Just because he don't run to your rescue, where I'm from, we say he's an on-time God. And when I say he's an on-time God, the congregation will say, yes, he is. Oh, yeah, let's try it. He's an old-time God. Oh, yes. because that's what he is. He saw them struggling. He intended, he meant to pass them by. He didn't mean to get in the ship with them. But he's such a loving and kind and compassionate God. When they began to cry out, he said, my children are calling for me. Let me stop and help them. Isn't that just like God? Anybody here ever called him? Anybody ever prayed to him? Anybody ever cried out to him and he came to your rescue? That's just like him. They're in the midst of trouble. He was going to pass them by because he said, this ain't going to kill them. This is going to make them stronger. I got to get to the other side. He told them that he was going to meet them on the other side. God is all right with me. He knows what we go through. He knows that what we go through is only going to make us stronger. He already knows that what we're going through is for our good. He knew this was going to make them strong. He knew this was going to develop their faith. But he was going to walk past them. He meant to walk past them. But they cried out to him. And when they cried out to him, he came to their rescue. There's a song that I began to sing a little bit of. Y'all don't want me to sing it, so I'll just give you the words. It says, listen, baby, ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't no valley low enough. Ain't no river wide enough. Baby, if you need me, call me. No matter where you are, no matter how far, don't worry, baby, just call me. And I'll be there in a hurry. If you don't have to worry, oh darling, because no wind, no rain, no winter cold can stop me, baby. No, 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 baby. Are y'all listening to me? This is a song by Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell. Y'all get it? Ain't no mountain high enough, ain't no valley low enough. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you. It says, ain't no, and then it goes back on to say, ain't no valley low enough, ain't no river wide enough to keep me from getting to you. Brothers and sisters, only God has the power to do what the words of this song said. Are y'all following me? Only God. They can sing this song to you, but trouble will stop them from getting to you. But there's no trouble to stop God from getting you. Truly ain't no mountain high enough. Truly ain't no valley low enough. Ain't no river wide enough to stop God from getting to you, to stop God from rescuing you, to stop God from delivering you. That's good news, brothers and sisters. No matter what you are going through, that's why the message is titled Faith for the Storm, Faith in the Storm, because you need faith. You need to have, your faith need to be activated right in the midst of what you're going through. I trust God, I believe God, that even in the wind and the rain, that he's worthy to be praised. Amen. Even when the winds of life and the storms of life are coming at me, God is still worthy to be praised. So listen, brothers and sisters. Now we just realize that we need him in the midst of our storms. We see that Jesus was, he just because he commands you to do something does not mean smooth sailing. And the last thing I want you to know is you got to remember who's on your side? Whose team are you on? Listen, when we face whatever we face, we're not facing this alone. Brothers and sisters, we come together as church. Some time ago, Leslie and I were having a conversation, and we were talking about all the stuff that people in the churches were going through. Leslie's father passed away, my father's passed away, Jim's mom passed away, and somebody else was going through something. And so Leslie began to recount those things that were happening in the church. And in my mind for a minute, I was like, oh man, seems like so much is happening to our church. But the bigger message is that you don't go through stuff by yourself, that others are going through stuff too. And when you realize that you're not here by yourself, that you got other brothers and sisters who are also going through that, but we got to remember that the captain of our team is the Lord. Amen? We know who on the team with us, but who we playing for? We're playing for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords because he is our way maker. He is the one that gives us strength. He is the one that helps us through these storms. He is the one that makes a way out of no way. When we realize this changes the playing field, when we realize that we're fighting, I say this often because I mean it, we're fighting a fixed fight. We're going to win. Does anybody remember how there was this thing about the Super Bowl is fixed because they accidentally put out what they thought the score was going to be? And everybody was up in arms. Oh, I knew it. The NFL is fixed. The NFL is fixed. But brothers and sisters, I didn't get mad. Because I am playing for the King of Kings, and he's already fixed my fight. Hello? He's already fixed my fight. I don't care what it looked like. I'm going to win. I don't care if I'm losing at the last second. I am going to win. God is going to some way or another give me the victory. So whenever you begin to hear people talking about you fighting, oh, it's fixed. I'm living a fixed life. Hello? Because I belong to him. He's already fixed it. Brothers and sisters, the moment that we accept Christ into our hearts, because of the grace by faith, when we accept him, we're fighting a fixed fight. He's already overcome the world. He's already subdued all of our enemies and his. That's good news. Remember whose team you're on. You know who's on your team, but it's more important to know whose team that you're on. I'm on his team, the King of Kings, the one that at his word he created heaven and earth, the one that got in a boat and the wind ceased. Isn't that something? That he shows up. They're struggling. They don't know what to do. They're fighting against the wave. And he gets in the boat and everything stops. I'm on his team. Hello? I'm on his team, the one that was buried, that was died for our sins, was hung on a cross, buried in a grave, and got up 3 days later. I am on his team. That is something to be happy about, that we're on a winning team, that we're on his team, that he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to his power that's at work in us. Is that not good news? Just think about this. Think about this. Man, listen, can I just be a parent for one moment, then I'm done. Sometimes I look at my boys, and I don't like how they're living. Anybody with children know what I'm talking about? I don't like how they're living. I wish I could just dictate to them how to live. I've taught them the best that we taught them the best that we know how. And guess what? They still do things that I'm not proud of, things I wouldn't wish they wouldn't do. But because I'm on his team, and I believe he got them in their hands, guess what? They going to win. They going to win. Listen, not because of what I'm doing, but because of what he's doing. They belong to him. And that's the same thing that I carry for my life. If I'm on the winning team, if I belong to him, I've given them to him. We have showed them him. Guess what? He has a way of getting them that my words will never reach them. Amen? He has a way of grabbing their attention, and sometimes, I'm done now, sometimes his way of showing us him in a different way isn't allowing us to go through a storm, allowing us to have some trials and tribulation in his life so we can see him like we've never seen him before. So we can worship him like we've never worshiped him before. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your love, your kindness, your grace, your mercy. We thank you that you are our God, our way maker. You are the one that can cause the storms in our lives to cease. You are the one that can get to us no matter where we're at or what we're going through. So, Father, we pray that as we have heard your word today, that we rest in the fact that we're on the winning team, that you are the captain of our team, that you are leading and you're guiding us, and you have protected us. And if you tell us to go to the other side, that's where we're going to go. And we are determined in our hearts that no matter what we have to go through, we're going to trust that we're going to get to the other side, and we're going to see you there. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.